It's welcome everyone for the English discussion. So we have already appointed topic, as the all the participants know. And before going into that traditional, how to call appointed topic, if anyone is having a personal question or interview reports, we will give some time and then going to start the formal topic.
I'm sorry, Bhante. Yeah, we have not got any reports from this side also.
Good. Our side also, there is nothing. So, I mean, answer, we can directly get into the topic.
Yes, please. So, then we are proceeding.
Yeah. So, today we have to discuss the 10th Sutta in the Devata Samyukta. So, it is starting like this, and I'll read the Pali verse. ఏకమంతం తిథాకోసా దేవతా భగవంతం గాథాయ అజ్జభాసి అరణ్యే విహరంతానం సంతానం బ్రహ్మచారిణం ఏకభత్తం భుంజమానానం కేన వన్నో పసీద తీతి. సో వన్ డేటీ ఈస్ ఆస్కింగ్ అరణ్యే విహరంతానం సంతానం బ్రహ్మచారీణం ఏకభత్తం భుంజమానానం కేన వన్నో పసీద తీతి. సో ఐ విల్ రీడ్ దట్ సింగల ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ ఆల్సో. එකත් පසෙක සිටි ඒ දෙවිතෙමේ භාගතුන් වහන්සේට ගාථාවකින් සැලකළේය. වෙනෙහි වසන එක්වේලේ අහර වළඳන ශාන්ත බ්‍රහ්මචාරීන්ගේ වර්ණය කවර හේයකින් පහදීද? So that is the question, and I'll ask Venerable Dhamma Vijita to do the English translation. Read the English translation.
Yes, this is Sutta 10, the forest. At Savatthi, standing to one side, that Devata recited this verse in the presence of the Blessed One. Those who dwell deep in the forest, peaceful, leading the holy life, eating but a single meal a day, why is their complexion so serene?
I hope Lokusanase could hear us.
Yeah, so this is very good. I think that the first gatha we must display in this monastery. Those who are living in forest, eating only in the morning or 1 hour, one meal, and why people are praising. You can put it away. Who will not praise? So that is a very good one. But we have to wait for the Buddha's answer. So therefore, in my life also, this is the first time that I decided to go for another place for Vatsa, and it was an accident thing. And soon I come here, I came with so much of dizziness, so much of congested ideas, and soon we come, we had 4 days, we are not talking each other, leafing on. And we go to the dining hall and come back twice. And then I went to Colombo, Wayambar, Nishanavaniya, Kaduela, Agalavatta, Karapitiya, and then via Puttalam, we came to the same monastery. And that 2-3 days, there was a lot of confusion. There was so much of tasks to be accomplished. I miscalculated the date. Then I overreacted. I came 1 day before. So much timetable. I disappointed some people. And when I come back, so yesterday whole day, it was left. And again we came back to the same vibration. So therefore I am not inviting anyone to come here. Because anyone can come and disturb me. But I mean, I am not luxurious to only be here. Please come and entertain it. So this is what I earned so far in my life. And I thought without me that Nisarnavani will be upset and Karsatipasala will be upset and everything. But everything happening, it's beating. And that I can see in this discussion. And earlier people are not joining us and coining us, but they are now joining with the Zoom, and I am utterly allocating 2 hours, it's the best of the time, and rest of the day we will use for some video filming with Kushan and everything happening. So some of the kitchen staff says they can't believe the timetable. Yeah, eating, drinking and doing all the kind of things. But these monks come here and have the meal and then they are doing what they wish. That is because we have trained them. Therefore, it is a kind of a thing, more than humans, the gods or celestial beings can understand. People are making themselves so busy and complaining, consuming, burning fuel and burning the candles from both ends. And I myself also the same, because I am always stirring people to do this and that thing. And ultimately, maturity came, I hope, my level, not the maximum, theoretical maximum. And then when the freedom happens, I don't feel the efficiency of the other people. Let them run their own way. And you see wild beasts also coming here. And we are entertaining the space. All the mighty land. And space. Looking at the sky. So that is why people are praising it. God is asking because he can't comprehend. He also praising. He is asking another human. Another Buddha. So this is what we see. And asking what is the pointed answer for this kind of a one meal, solitude life and forest life. This is like backwardness in the social life. People become, you know, urbanization. People become very busy. People, management technique, how to exploit people, how to exploit the land, how to exploit the society. And ultimately they get exploited. They don't know. But when you are alone, you have no idea of exploitation. And the general love for everything is there. And then you are very healthy. You are very mentally, physically healthy. And that health we expect from the medical, my health department. But they are the worst people about poking fingers into others. So therefore, we forest monks must know not to poke fingers into someone. And whatever we get is more than enough. And just ride the wave. Be on the ball. And so that is what my view, but I know it is quite incomplete because we are now waiting for the answer of the Buddha. If anyone is having any contribution, welcome. Otherwise, we are going to listen to the omniscient answer.
Yeah, my son, so there is no any other interruption, so we are going directly to the Buddha's answer. So Buddha answers like this: Atitang nanu sochanti nappa jappanti nagatang pacchuppannena yapenti tena vanno pasidati. I'll repeat it. Atitang nanu sochanti nappa jappanti nagatang pacchuppannena yapenti tena vanno pasidati. Single translation is like this: ikut dagana shoka nokireti noladdeya nopatati pavatna dein yapeti ein sharira varnaya pahadi. So I invite Venerable Dhamma Vijita to do the English translation. No, just the one, first one.
The Blessed One replies, "They do not sorrow over the past, nor do they hanker for the future. They maintain themselves with the present. Hence their complexion is so serene." I'll repeat that again. "They do not sorrow over the past, nor do they hanker for the future. They maintain themselves with what is present. Hence, their complexion is so serene."
So basically, Buddha's answer represents that they are not worrying about the past. And there is no any frustration coming because of too much futuristic thinking or too much wishes, expectations. And simply they are pachupanne cha yapinti. So that means what is available, they are fully contented. And tena vanno pasidati. As a result of that, there is no any frustration, there is no any restlessness. So they are quite happy. Simple as that. So, Lokusan answer, you hope you are there.
And that is the time-wise answer, not past, not future, not the present. The present is pleasant. And the one is not the phrasing of the others, it says your look. You look good, you look healthy. Both are valid. Other people also phrase, and you feel mental health and physical health balance. And because you are not carried away by the time, you are not kalakanni. Kalakanni means that you are driven by the time. And people think about the time dimension and running past and running future. And that is the cancer we call civilization, socialization. So therefore, in order to have that isolation, in order to have that blessed birthright, you have to go into the forest, dwell alone, and don't worry about the much of a meal. It is one meal a day, and that is the physical or geological or space-wise this thing. And answer is in the time-wise, and that is Madhya Karatta Sutta, very nicely Buddha explained, and that was Buddha's answer, and the Madhya Karatta Sutta answer, and Eko Namatero answer, exactly the same. And that is not kind of a religious, and that is slowly, slowly, through this, how do you call, quantum physics, also, they are slowly reaching it, non-local, that means not localized. And time is kind of a mind projection. So therefore, you are burning the candle from both the ends, and you are running too fast, like a roller coaster, and then ultimately you lose your oneness, your pleasant look. So therefore, one has to understand, but don't express it, don't profess it in the common places. Then you are at the utter loss. You have to do it yourself. Here, now, I am. Here means the time dimension. Now means here means the space dimension. Now means the time dimension. I means the cross section. You can do it. So now that is happening in the world. And some people started an idea called consciousness. They are conscious about one's own here and now. And they say, I can control the world. I can calm down the world. I can reduce the pollution of the world. Because the world is warming up. And corruption is too much. Unbearable. But don't think your being here and now is insignificant. That is giving the answer to your own oneness, I mean health and balance, and it is contagious. It is spreading. So to come up to the spreading level, it takes long time. But at first, do it your Sila Sikha or Sila Visuddhi, Chitta Visuddhi, Ditti Visuddhi, and then when it is happening, balance is you are getting harmonized with the world. So you are communicating the world with silent sermon, not with the loudspeaker. Your behavior is more louder than your words. So therefore, this is happening, but in a very, very little percentage. But my personal observation is that percentage, which is understanding this, the theory, is more than what I expect. Irrespective of the age, irrespective of the religion, irrespective of the geographical areas, irrespective of the sickness and the achievements, knowledge and the money, that is a kind of a human character. And without any hesitation, you can tell others, but don't expect anything. Don't expect even sitting sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then you will get frustrated. That is why the devata is not a human. The asking from the Buddha is a human. So we see people and Pindola Bharadwaja Sutta, that's what the king, he was amazed. very young monks live in the forest with that early characteristic. They are very joyful. The king is having big harem and big mansion and big authority, but he is still frustrated. But he can see that young monk in the robust young age, very playfully living. And he go and ask, how do you simply deal with this sex desire? How do you simply deal with this sensuous desire? And that monk gives the weak answer, and the medium answer ultimately says, I am mindful. Therefore, I can manage. So that much it is there. So slowly, slowly, or very, how do you call it? Unexpected way, in an electric way, in an impromptu way. If you select the path, you can see verification. Slowly, slowly verifications are happening. It is nothing to show others. Of course, we are trying with the brainwave starter and the EEG and the functional MRI scan and all the kind of things. And they have perversions. The Buddha, I mean, these things can go with the parallel with the Buddha, but the Buddha, without any such support, he maintained. He knew the cross-section, where the point, where all the tension and frustrations have been alleviated, and it is momentary, yes. And that momentary thing indicates your potential. You have that potential. Why don't you try with this momentary kind of thing? And that momentary thing appears like an accident, something unexpected in meditation, unexpected in mindfulness, unexpected in vipassana. Because that our mindset at the beginning is selfish. To understand this situation in a selfless manner takes long time. For that only we need true people, Kalyanamitta, and the atmosphere, and then you have to have the mindset to foster this, be in the present moment. Me mohata sundarai maye mage hitata no wathahi oong enawa atheeta me enawa anagatheta. Ultimately we missed the bus. So that is common for everyone. We can discuss, but the understanding of the present moment we can't discuss. That is not utterable, not articulable. So that is why we have to have discussions again and again. We are not successfully finishing it, but we are perpetuating ever the discussion. That is what I thought of sharing at this juncture.
Thank you, Bhante. Thank you, Swaminansa, for your comments on this. These monks are so serene, being in the present moment, and your comment that, again, you know, you keep bringing back this mindfulness, the key to our practice, the balancing point, the thing that balances our practice, the thing that lets us know if we're slipping into defilement or if we're becoming caught in the future or the past, we can be mindful. And it just occurred to me that, you know, that being mindful is actually being in the present moment. So it's kind of what the Devata was, or what the Buddha said: they do not sorrow over the past, nor do they hanker for the future. They maintain themselves with what is present. Hence, their complexion is so serene. And so they maintain themselves with what is present. It seems that's mindfulness, just being in the present moment, experiencing what is in the present, being in the present, as you said, with our mind and our physical body, everything fully in the present. So thank you so much for your guidance and teaching us about this. Thank you, Swaminansa.
Any other comments?
Yeah, no more comments, Swaminansa. Yeah, you mentioned about that Baddhekaratta Sutta also, Atitan නානුසෝචන්ති අතීත නාන්වාගමීය නප්පටිකංකේ අනාගතං යදතීතං පහීනංතං අපත්තංච අනාගතං පච්චුප්පන්නංච යෝ ධම්මං තත තත්ත්ව විපස්සති. So it is also quite aligned with the this teaching where Buddha highlights අතීත නාන්වාගමීය. So you don't go after the past. නප්පටිකංකේ අනාගතං. Don't get frustrated or get bewildered by futuristic future related affairs. Because yadatītam pahīnantam, because the past has gone. Appati yadatītam pahīnantam appattam cha anāgatam, the future hasn't come yet. So simply will be clear in the sense that atīta, the past has already gone, so you can't take it back now, and the future hasn't come yet, so it is far away maybe. So but what you have is the present moment. So pachuppannam cha dhamman tat tat vipassati. So you are anyway awake to the present moment, and what you need to do is to look at it in a proper wisdom. So what's happening in the present moment, so inviting us to look at things properly through the vipassana eye, to investigate true wisdom. So that is the theme of the, say, Baddhekaratta Sutta, and it is very much aligned with what Buddha mentioned here in this. The name of the sutta is called the Aranya Sutta. So that basically indicates that if one is maintaining such kind of an attitude without being frustrated about the future and regretting about the past, so they have to be happy, isn't it? So naturally there have to be some sort of a happiness, some light way of looking at things, some clarity of mind, because they are not congested of various other affairs. So they are living quite happily in the present moment. So then the complexion has to be serene, complexion has to be pleasant. So that is the outer look, by the way. So I'll ask a question, Lokusana answer. So if this is the case, so why not all the monks are not happy?
Monks are misleading others. So therefore monks has to be unhappy. So before becoming a monk, I knew it. Because I am, many people say, you are the guru, you are the guru deva, you are the teacher. So I hide myself. Because that is not my task. And being the present moment is the at home. In the past and future is eccentric. So we have taken the eccentricism as the norm. And whenever you come here and now, you feel alienated. You never say it is alone. So therefore, I was fighting and trying and teaching and all too much I did. Now it is time. And not that I am fed up, and not that I am going to give up all the projects. All the projects I am monitoring, they are happening. And all the other monks, they have to mind you their own business. That's what I say, be mindful and mind your own business. While it's happening, there may be some pervading. There may be some contagious vibration. That is separate. That you have to understand. That's the difference between Pachyeka Buddha and the Samma Sambuddha. And some Savakas, or disciples also, some are engaged with the social work, some are not. Both are equally treated. So the social work is kind of a cascading effect of your virtues. Sometimes bad thing also cascading, not only the good thing. So that is why monks are, and the worst thing is other priests in the other religions. And it is nothing to wash and clean. They know definitely they are misleading people. And it is now with the social media, it is becoming very clear. And the scientists, and the psychiatrists, and the doctors, they know. They are not minding their own business. That is why they can pass good exams. They are minding their own business, they must get failed. That. But we, lucky enough, fairly we got our exams through, and at an age, in a junction, we have taken this bad decision for our family members and the society, and good for us. So that is why monkhood is so precious. But it is not just for the sake of monkhood. You have to earn it. This is called sāsana sampatti. the endowment of our dispensation. Buddha has opened the gate, but if you are not dwelling in it, that means your ignorance and your craving is little too much. But with compared with others, really okay. But anyatta adikusala, anyatta kalyana, we must not find fault with them. We must set an example for them, and then they will think why some monks are good. In the Thomas Merton, he has written as a Trappist Catholic monk, how he prepared, how he was happy. And present day Richard Matthew, he said, I'm the happiest person. And he is giving a silent sermon. And Achyan Shah, and all the way, they are very happy people. But some people use this as a caption. I am the happiest person, but their behavior and the other things are not so simple, not so childlike, not so beginner-like. So therefore, that examples of the monks is a good indicator, good road sign for others to not to follow suit. So we have good example. Don't discourage telling it is low in percentage. Don't try to phrase heroes. Instead, try to be a hero. Yes?
Yeah.
Coming from the Buddha Prakita.
Sarai Swaminathan, this is Samarakita.
Yeah.
I just also wanted to say a few words for the comment you made. Why the monks are unhappy is because at the present moment, they will be living in the past or they will be living in the future, which they start hating instead of knowing that it is happening now. So when they start hating it, then they have no other option than being unhappy. But if there is someone who really understands and who really becomes appreciative of the fact that this unhappiness is happening now, he will be happy. And not he is happy not because that he is really 100% happy. He is aware that it is happening now. He knows his defilements are getting rid now. And why it is appearing is because defilements are not suppressed. Defilements are coming out. So when that happens, someone will be happy, although the things to be happy may be unpleasant. That's one thing. And the other thing is I have observed when people come to the retreats in the first or second day, their complexion completely changed and they become very dark face. But over time, their complexion again changes. That is also because their past and future things that have been happening around them are coming out. And when it is coming out, their complexion change. And when they accept that it is happening, their complexion again get to a better shining complexion. I think the key is to know either present, either the past or the future is happening now. So one who understands that it is happening now will be happy, and those who react to it will be unhappy. Thank you, Bhante.
Another shade of meaning is, compared with the monks, nuns are worse. I am open with it. Not that I have no exemplified good nun. There are. But in general, nuns are. And then if you go to the other missionary work, males and females, if you ask specific question, they say they are just hiding. But they are showing a face value to the outside. But they are in utter suffering. So therefore, they call it the mission. And that is, they put it into a donation to the God. That is good. Otherwise, they can't live. And they, therefore, when such a thing happens, killing and get killed, myself, is simple. Because they understand it. Because they put it into that missionary work. But in Buddhism, we are mission, our mission is, my mission is in this very life. It is not to just convince others. So therefore, Your complexion is the most important. And that's why I call vanna. And vanna is sometimes it's called caste, different caste. And sometimes he says vanna, that means the other face. So therefore, vanna is given a very simple interpretation here. I think that is very ethical, beautiful. But there are some other shades of meaning. We have about 10 minutes more.
You have anything to add? Yeah. We have a little another comment from our side, Swami Nahansa.
Our side, Swami Nahansa. Namosada here. I understand that there are different kinds of happiness. There is the happiness of the unordained person, the lay person, and that is when they come in contact with pleasing sense objects. Sense objects that make them live a comfortable life, quite free from suffering. That is the happiness of the lay life. And then there is the happiness of the renunciate. And this is being free from the oppression of defilements, being free of unwholesomeness. And this renunciate realizes that at this moment, there are no defilements arising and happiness arises. Now, these two kinds of happinesses appear to me to still be conditioned. Is there a third kind of happiness? And I'm specifically asking, is Nibbana this other kind of happiness?
So you're talking about the renunciative happiness. So Nibbana also is kind of a renunciative happiness. Because now there's a definition given for Nibbana from that point of view called Sabbupadi Patnissaggo. So there are various definitions, synonyms given for Nibbana. So one synonym given is there called Sabbupadi Patnissaggo. So you have relinquished all your acquisitions. So it is therefore that is the maximum. So you have given up everything. Everything has renunciated. Everything has relinquished. So then you attain Nibbana. So basically, till we have something to protect, till we have even a slightest amount of ego, we may have some sort of a frustration. We may experience some sort of a dukkha. But more and more we relinquish, more and more we let go of, then more and more happiness should be there. So the utmost happiness is therefore explained in that point of view, like you have given up everything, there is nothing to hold, and so you become no one in that sense. Nothing you belong either. There is nothing you belong and there is no one either. And you are in the utmost happiness. So that may we can say as the Nibbana. So in another way, Buddha mentioned like Akinchanang Anadana. So you own nothing. You own nothing and you grasp nothing. You hold nothing. Etan Deepang Anaparang. So this is the island, nothing else. Nibbana Miti Thambrumi. And I call it as Nibbana. Jaramachu Parikyang, where the aging, decaying, and the death is relinquished, not happening like. So therefore, I think the Nibbana has to be experienced only in the present moment. So we can't say that you are attaining Nibbana in the future life. Rather, you are, as Bhante just now mentioned, so your vision has to be something that you are going to experience in this very life. Not that we are trying hard now and going to attain it Nibbana in the future. Rather, how about attaining it, experiencing it or realizing it right now? So without defilements, without any burning, without any frustration, how about experiencing some calm, relaxed, cool kind of a mentality right now? Isn't it? So then we are very much like aligned with our goal. Yeah. And on the other hand, I thought of while we are discussing this topic, I thought of just taking out now very familiar thing. Now, when Buddha discussed the Satipatthana Sutta, he promised certain benefits. So when before the explaining the various, techniques, so where he simply says, Soka Pariddhavanam Samatikkamaya. Soka Pariddhavanam Samatikkamaya. Soka means various kinds of worries. Pariddhavanam means different lamentations. So which we are going to abandon or which are going to penetrate. So that means, so if one is practicing Satipatthana, so his or her worries has to be shed, worries has to be abandoned. So he has to be happy on the other hand, isn't it? So more and more he is practicing mindfulness. So that means his worries has to be shed, worries has to be abandoned, and lamentation has to be abandoned. Dukkha domanassana atthangama. And any kind of mental despair, any kind of mental agony or something, then that also has to be abandoned. So these are the fruits in a way. These are the benefits that Buddha, even before he prescribed Satipatthana, he says, okay, these are the benefits definitely you are going to get if you practice mindfulness. So therefore, we can see when we are practicing mindfulness, are we really enjoying these benefits? Or am I still frustrated, or am I still restless, or am I worried, or something like that? Or am I able to experience something what Buddha has sort of forecasted, that Buddha has prescribed? Okay, these things are there, so am I able to at least touch that even for a short moment? So therefore, the teaching is very much like taking us to the present moment and being aware of the present moment, starting from there. And more than that, say, while we are practicing there, now as the Baddhekaratta Sutta highlights, Pachuppannancheva dhamman tatta tatta vipassati. So where you are in the present moment also, you are investigating the present moment phenomena, help us to even abandon that. It doesn't mean that in the present moment you grasp the present moment, isn't it? So you let go of the past and let go of the future and you be in the present moment and grasp the present moment phenomena, that is a different thing. That is not what we are trying to say. Even while in the present moment, you are not grasping anything in the present moment. So your mind is not established in that sense. So basically the mind has to be freed by looking at, by knowing the futility, by knowing that insubstantial nature of even the present moment phenomena. So mind has even let go of that. Mind has attained the freedom. Then we can say, okay, you are more happy.
I would like to add two shades of meaning to the Venerable Thakurana's interpretation. Three renunciation, according to the three renunciation, three kinds of happiness. Whenever you renounce the sensuous world or sexual world, going to the forest or ice world or that place or simple living, so that means that renunciation is a happiness. That is what we call monks, we call mendicants. And even after becoming monks, if they are not happy, that means that renunciation is they have, even if they are given, endowed, they don't know how to interpret. And the second thing is a renunciation of the Rupa Loka, or the materialistic world. And the going to the Rupa Loka is the invariable, no, we can't say invariable, we can't say optional chance for the renounced people. But hardly people go into that. Or even if they go, they do not know. Even if they do, they do not know how to entertain. So therefore, Rupa Loka is just to renounce, to get rid of the Kama Loka. We have done it, I mean, fairly. But still, we may be frustrating, or that is independent. That is your appreciation, your mindset. And when the Rupa Loka is renounced, your object is losing, your mindfulness is losing, your body is losing, and your papancha is losing, and there you feel solitude. But you may claim it as a isolated, as a alienation. Then another frustration. It is mental. Utterly mental, not the soka, but this is parideva dukkha domanasa. This is the domanasa. And that, if you know how to appreciate it, it is your mindset. It is not the renunciation. So, renunciation, even beyond Buddhism, other religious also, they are happy with that endowment. But some people do it there, but they don't know how to happy with that endowment. That is because of the mindset. So once the mindset is happened, whether renounce or not, no matter. So that is what the Buddha given in the seven stages. And therefore, one thing is we are endowed, we are qualified to be happy, but we are not. Why? We have not proper mindset. So therefore, we have to have a discussion. We have to throw each other our views and brush it And definitely it is not, that refinement is not happening by practice. It is just by dialogue. It's just by opening. It's a declaration. It's a statement. So that is available only in the Buddha discipline. I am very happy. I was born into that kind of a society, and most of my happiness is because of the good people, and we know we have a place to express our views. So therefore we are very happy, and I think in future it will be more and more. So therefore practicing in one thing and mindset is something, the indication is the happiness and unhappiness. So even the happiness happen, we have to declare. Even the unhappiness happen, we have to declare. Our co-practitioners will rectify it, or teachers will rectify it, or senior practitioners will rectify it. Even without that, your declaration itself is a catharsis. Your statement itself is a catharsis. So we are very happy. We have a forum. We have a place to vomit. We have to dustbin to trash, put trash. Don't consider the dustbin as a filthy thing. It's a sacred thing. So when your catharsis happens, that understanding and catharsis is two different things. Some people consider catharsis as a suffering. Vomiting or shitting or sneezing or everything. But this is a real thing. So that mindset is nowadays we are often discussed about that. Not the meditation, but your mindset. That's the samadhi, your avenue to what. So what and samadhi pati sago means your aim. Samadhi vipa chandrati dev another set of aiming. Expectation. No, where are you going aiming at? Your target, your pivotal point, your benchmark. It is also evolving. Ultimately, no ego, no upadhi. That is upadhi refining at the karma local level, rupa local level, arupa local level. And when you go into expressing a linear language, you get that. Very difficult. You have to understand it is like a shedding off of a old skin of a reptile. One's gone, and that is gone, and that is gone. One by one, you have to peel it off. But I feel we have to. I just add two shades of meaning to the discussion.
Ehmai Swaminahansa, actually, we have just one more verse to complete. I thought of mentioning that also, and then we can complete the sutta. So I'll recite the last one. It says like this: Anagatappa Jappaya Ati Tassanu Sochana. ఏతేన బాలా సుస్సంతి నలోవ హరితో లుతోతి. ఐల్ రిపీట్ ఇట్. అనాగతప్ప జప్పాయ అతీతస్సానుశోచన ఏతేన బాలా సుస్సంతి నలోవ హరితో లుతోతి. ద సింగల ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ గివెన్ లైక్ దిస్: నొలత్ దయ పెతీమెన్ హా ఇకుత్ దయగన శోక కిరీమెన్ దై యన మెయిన్ బాలయో సిందినలద నిలిగత్ బటదండక్ సెయిన్ వియలెత్. So, Venerable Dhamma Vijita will recite the English translation.
Through hankering for the future, through sorrowing over the past, fools dry up and wither away, like a green reed cut down.
Like a green reed cut down. Very beautiful simile in a way. When the green reed cut down, with time it will become more and more dried and ripe and no fresh, say, juice, anything, everything evaporated. More and more dried. So likewise here, so when someone is worried about the past and have so much of expectations about the uncertain future, thinking about that, he become extremely frustrated, obsessed, and almost liked it. Isn't it? I mean, assume that someone is lost someone, say a loved one is lost, a mother, father, or son, daughter, something like that. Lost and is thinking, worrying about it, and not eating, not happy, and crying and all that. So he become dried, and he also sometimes get onto a coma-like thing, completely gone. Isn't it? So similarly, and in the future, okay, there will be a war and there will be a this thing, that thing, and we can worry about various future things and again get frustrated and again we feel uncertain, and that also makes us unhappy, frustrated, and that also can cause a lot of psychosomatic diseases, and that also can cause death. So very interesting mention as the final verse. So what would be the result, the consequence, if one is too much engaged with this worrying the past, regretting about the past, and then thinking about the future gains and all future events, and then you almost like a leftover reed, cut off reed.
What is the term mentioned in the last sentence in the stanza?
Yeah.
The nala,
nalo,
nalarang, or what?
Nalo. Yeah, nalova harito lutoti.
Nalova means, nala means reed, bamboo,
yeah,
and all the kind of
things. Yeah, right.
But all of them, their hard part is external, internal hollow. That is what we call people with the arrogance. They are always show off and internally Nambua Bambua. That is, they are living in Nambua. That means they are very prestigious, and that the Mahabharata says those who are living in prestigious, the finding blame or showing their weaknesses is more than this. Mani Jivatana Kenata, Avamane Marne Tateha. So that is only for reed. Others are not trying like that. And bamboo and the that is found in the Nisarnamane butter, they are tender parties like that. But the harder part is never shrink. So therefore, nala means a kind of an idiot. So that's why the first and two sentences are telling this is a bad example. And if you are living such a life, you will sorrow, lamentation, and hit your chest and crying and all these are show. Utterly show. You can see. But if you are fertilizing it, they will be exaggerated. Let them cry, let them vomit and die. Don't worry. They will get up and go. This is the way in the cemeteries and the funeral houses happening. So therefore, I also have done it. Therefore, I know it. Then my father, I was getting painted and again coming out and crying in front of my best mate. But when my mother passed away, still came kind of a urge and then stop it. Because I thought that even that will not come. No, it's coming. It's coming from the throb behind, and then I stop everything. Don't stop. But otherwise I am aggravating. So everyone was shocked. And then calm down. And that is how other facilitators and other poor practitioners has not to follow suit. Don't show off. This is happening. So therefore, this drying off happening is for the bamboo. Bamboo means nala. Nala means tachasaranga sampala. That's the harder part is outer, internal hollow. The selection of that example of the Buddha as a reed is a good. Because that is happening for the tender part of the butter, tender part of the unna, they dry off, but the harder part won't dry. So therefore, the way of your life indicates how do you tackle an event. Something happened. And that indicates how you are, who you are, what is your likings and disliking. Don't hide it. It's a good indicator. It's a diagnostic. So therefore, first verse is the success story. Second verse is the failure or a mistake, person taken wrongly. So therefore, we monks must understand what to take and what to take as as an example. The good and the bad, we have to go in between.
Any comments from our side?
Okay.
No comments.
So we now this time up.
Hey, my son.
So Sangharatana, sorry for requesting again and again. Do the Punya Anumodana.
Himaisanasa, Venerable Dhamma Vijita is ready to conduct the sharing of merits. So I cordially invite Venerable Dhamma Vijita to conduct it.
His voice is better than Shankar's
now.
Thank you both Swami Nansas for your teachings today and for all the participants joining with their thoughts and questions. May our relatives and all beings share in the merit produced by today's teaching. May all celestial beings share in the merit produced by today's teaching. And may the celestial beings protect the Dhamma exposition and dispensation of the Buddha and his disciples for a very long time. And perhaps the seeds of the Buddha's teaching that have been planted in our hearts and minds may grow, producing path fruition and Nibbana. I invite you to join in the recitation of the traditional Pali verses for sharing the merits.